Welcome to Making Change, a podcast of the Chronicle of Philanthropy. I'm Hilde Gottlieb, author of the Pollyanna Principles and co-founder of Creating the Future, where our mission is to make visionary community improvement the norm in this sector rather than the exception. It is my privilege to host this podcast, where we talk with change leaders from around the world about this sector's potential for creating visionary social change. I'm so pleased to welcome Sydney Hargrow as my guest on Making Change. 2 years ago, almost to the date of this interview, Sydney began his tenure as the first executive director of the Community Foundation of South Jersey, an innovative foundation that serves 8 diverse counties in southern New Jersey. In birthing this new community foundation, Sydney and the board of the foundation are rethinking everything about what a community foundation is all about, with a primary focus on being, as Sydney's own bio notes, a community convener for the issues that matter in South Jersey. Sydney's love of the potential of community foundations began at the Columbus Foundation in Columbus, Ohio, where he managed the foundation's business and innovation strategy, organizational learning and performance, and social impact evaluation. With his original degree in mechanical engineering, Sydney's approach to community change is infinitely practical. And we're thrilled that he's been sharing that practical wisdom as one of the founding members of Creating the Future's own board of directors. It is therefore a very real pleasure to have Sydney Hargrow share his observations with us today here on Making Change. My guest today on Making Change is Sydney Hargrow. Welcome, Sydney.
Thank you very much, Hilde.
It is a pleasure to have you with us today, and I've been enjoying our conversations over time and looking forward to hearing your thoughts about what the factors are that you see. I mean, you've been in this business for a while and in several key positions. When you see social change happening, what do you see underpinning that? What factors are at play?
Social change, I mean, for me, it's a very tough topic to really express in ways, because from one perspective, I'm in philanthropy and I see foundations and individual donors talk about investing in change. But there's always that curiosity as to whether or not you're really leading to change. Like, what you're doing, is it really that? And then you see the movements, the networks, the people, where it's social change by virtue of the sheer passion of people trying to build a greater world. And all of a sudden you see that they can realize change, that they can see it. I mean, we've seen it over the summer and in the streets now. And so trying to reconcile those two things as a professional working in philanthropy is useful daily to try to figure out a way to see how they integrate. So my perspective is that social change is an integration of those that have the ability to invest in it and the people that are the spark plugs that really move it forward.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing right now, because it's fascinating.
I'm 2 weeks from starting at the Community Foundation of South Jersey as its first executive director.
2 weeks from?
2 weeks from, I'm sorry. We are close to being 2 years old. I guess that's a long way to say it. We are 2 years old.
Wow.
As of November 1 of this year. So as a startup community foundation in a state where we are covering 8 counties, and those 8 counties represent pockets of extreme poverty, urban poverty, pockets of rural poverty, pockets of high net worth wealth. It includes the shore, it includes agriculture and farmland. It's a very, very diverse terrain, very diverse geography for us to focus on from a population standpoint. And so it's exciting in that here's a startup on the one hand, but also a startup that is trying to really find ways to advance philanthropy differently throughout an entire region.
It is so unusual to see potential community foundations not say, no, this is our turf and it's very different than the turf next door. This is our region, this is our county, this is our piece of it. It's really unusual to see them come together, especially as you've described some pretty disparate kinds of areas, to come together and say, we're stronger together than we would be separately. I'm curious what you're finding in bringing those different regions together, especially being so new. It's probably all very new and sort of rubbing the corners off each other. How is that working, and what are you seeing?
What I'm seeing here is really that even though it made sense for those groups to come together and form one community foundation, at the same time, the interest and the culture and the priorities, if you will, in those different areas are still quite different. So you've heard people say, all philanthropy to some degree is local. In this case, I think it is true. So what we've had to do is to use the strength of what brought them together. So the fact that they can gain economies of scale by having central leadership from an administrative standpoint and fund development, et cetera, that in fact, what we've decided is that the future of this foundation is helping all of those communities build their own long-term permanent funding base and or fund that will be held at the foundation, but actually led by local groups in those communities. You can't, when you look at, for example, a city like Camden, New Jersey, where it's a place that has experienced decline for many years, it's always talked about from the perspective of its challenges and crime and financial issues, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And then you have other communities that are facing the same exact issue, but they're not getting as much publicity with theirs because they are in some of the areas farther south in New Jersey that they may be part rural or coastal. There are communities in Cape May County, for example, that are struggling as well, but most people, when you hear the words Cape May, they think of beautiful shoreline, beautiful coast. Right. And so what we're finding is that we've got to help them. We've got to approach this from a decentralized fashion and spend a lot of time on how to help those communities be in charge of their own philanthropy and develop their own priorities in their area so that they are making the decisions and not the foundation staff from an office an hour away.
It's really amazing. As you're talking, I heard some words in what you were saying, and as I'm reflecting on them and reading back some of my notes, you talked about the future of the foundation really being the future of those communities. We're so used to seeing, if you'll pardon the word, fiefdoms, when it comes to foundations frequently, where we sort of see that sense of, that sense of control. And you're really talking about letting go of some of that control and building the philanthropy, the philanthropic control in those communities where you guys, it sounds like, are really just going to assist building philanthropy there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What does that look like? How does one build philanthropy in a community?
It's messy. And I can tell you that so far, the conversations that we've had in communities about doing this have been well received. And in fact, they've been surprised that that has been the approach of the foundation. If you really peel back down a layer or two with the foundation, and in essence, what we are trying to do is help donors create the community they want to see. And for us, when we say the word donor, it could be an individual, a family, it could be a corporation, it could be, in this case, a community. And so our focus is really on helping them create the community they want to see, as opposed to it coming from our office as to how it should look.
I love the word messy, because the other word that might replace that is fertile. We assume life is supposed to be linear, and I don't know anybody's life who really is, that the messiness really is sort of an organic thing. Tell me some of what you guys are doing, if you've got any stories of some of the going into community and what you're finding and what people are telling you.
Well, the latest story of one community that we're working with is very interesting, because we decided to start the conversations in a community that, if you interviewed 10 people, probably 8 of them would say that typically they are passed over when it's time to talk about support from a public standpoint. So if there are any major projects in the area, that this is a community that gets left out. And we didn't realize that going in. It just seemed like a good place to start based upon the conversations we had with residents in the area. But ironically, this community sits around a beautiful lake in southern New Jersey. We went in and started initial conversations. The one thing we realized is that initially, at least, the relationships between residents on one side of the lake wasn't necessarily close with those that were on the other side of the lake. And we saw, whereas we could simply say, well, you know, this is just not a good place. It's conflict that we don't really need to deal with out of the box. We took the path of saying, well, could this be the opportunity for them to come together on something that could support and could actually improve both sides, and they could do it collectively, and that what they would do would only be part of the impact. What would happen with their relationships could potentially be the other part of the impact. So that's what we've set out to do there. We've had two or three long conversations with community leaders in the area, and it looks like they are actually coming together on one project. We're hoping to see what that might be sometime in November. But if that happens, then this could be a great pilot opportunity for us to show what happens when a community comes together, again, to create the community that they want to see.
There's so much in what you're saying, Sydney, that it's fun, and I always enjoy my conversations with you because so much of what you're doing is so overwhelming to somebody who's not sitting inside of it all day long, and you're just sort of taking it for granted that, well, yeah. I'll give you a sentence you said that just totally struck me. You are a community foundation CEO, and you're having conversations with residents in an area around a lake. And that's the coming out of the ivory tower. That's the coming out of the office and actually being in the community.
I can't see it being done in any other way. In order to advance the type of philanthropy, the brand of philanthropy that we're talking about, it has to come ground up. It has to come from the community up. We could have started 2 years ago and said, what we're going to do is put together a needs assessment and determine two or three priorities and just fund away.
Which is common.
And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But what we decided to do, since we basically have a blank slate, is, well, ask the question, well, how can we build on the built assets that are already here, that haven't changed, that have been here for even since the time when this was a thriving region? And that is the people, that is the land, that is the agriculture. So those things that are still here as assets, and to go in and have conversations about starting there and creating forward what they would like to see. It doesn't mean that we don't value talking about the issues and problems of the day, but we just see even greater value in talking about, where do you want to go? And how can we potentially get there? And what is the role of philanthropy in helping them get there?
That alone is a huge question. I'm looking at the difference between the focus on a specific issue, a specific problem. As you talked about the residents on the both sides of the lake, that there's a specific issue that you could deal with and a project, but seeing the relationship as impact, that's just tremendous. I mean, it really is striking the difference between the what we do and the why we do it.
It is absolutely the why, because if that relationship is able to change over time because they're working together on building this, you know, improving this community, that impact will produce even greater impacts down the road alone. Whereas if their focus was merely the project or merely the one or two activities, that activity could be finished and then they could move on their separate ways. Right. They could have come and said, you know what, we want to do two different projects, one on that side of the lake and one on the other side. But really having the conversation, that's not what they chose. It wasn't the fact that the foundation encouraged that necessarily. But as we talked to them and they engaged, and you talked about it not being linear, that was some of the ideas that started to come out. And so we were able to reflect back to them what they were saying and say, look, you know, if you're saying that this is an opportunity to build community in a way greater than a project, then that in and of itself is a far greater impact than you could have ever asked for in this scenario.
When you talk about building the foundation, there's the day-to-day that having a single foundation that builds philanthropy in these individual communities, there's the day-to-day of what that can benefit. And it is economies of scale, and it is fund development, and it is some of the administrative stuff. But really, it sounds like a big piece of what you're able to provide is facilitating and convening community building in those individual communities.
Absolutely. And
go ahead, Sydney. I'm sorry.
Well, again, as you talk about a startup community foundation, obviously there are the day-to-day issues of how do you grow the assets and how do you subsidize what you're doing now until the assets are grown to the point where it covers what you're offering to the community. But what you can do right out the gate on day one is use the foundation as one player that could convene and have conversations and listen. I mean, listen, the entire first year of our work, when we opened the door, we said, this is our year of listening. It doesn't cost you anything to listen, and it doesn't cost you anything to take a step farther when you see an opportunity, a window in what you've heard to allow those conversations to become impact over time. It does take a significant amount of patience, and you do have to learn how to pull back the feeling of needing to be in control or wanting to be in control when it slips in, because really you're not.
We delude ourselves to think we're in control ever of anything, don't we?
That's right.
If you were to picture, oh, I don't know, 10 years out, 20 years out, 30 years out, and picture the individual communities that you are helping by convening philanthropy in those communities, what do you see?
I see communities that feel and are empowered to address any issue that they see for their community. But even more so, I see communities really strategically set out to build what they want to see. So, for example, in that community, they talked a lot about the youth in the community, as the case in many communities. What happens if they are able to make a dent in their community because they're able to involve youth in the ongoing activity of the philanthropy, as they talked about the last time I was there? You start to get an entire community that is thinking about giving back and moving forward. That's what I see, and that's what I hope to see throughout South Jersey, is that all these communities self-defined. Some of them may be along county lines, and some may cross county lines. It's really up to them. But that it's a group that is a community coming together and that feels empowered and have the resources to move forward on what they want to create.
It really sounds like you are, and this new foundation, that you're really at the cusp of redefining what a community foundation can look like and can be, a very, very different feel than we have been used to in the past.
I'm happy to say that I think that there's a movement of community foundations that are thinking like this. I mean, I know we get a lot of our strategy, if you will, from the Nebraska Community Foundation and what Jeff Yost is doing, and you know, some of the other community foundations that are finding themselves in communities where it's a great opportunity to talk about philanthropy differently. Jeff talks about it being a community development that is the work that you're in, right? And that's true in a lot of ways. That brings a separate set of challenges, which, once again, I think we just have to think differently about how we do that. So really taking a look at what are the added values of a community foundation and that infrastructure, and how can we creatively approach all of this? And that's what we'll do. And it's, as you said, not linear. It will take its winding road toward what it will become. And I wish I could tell you exactly what it's going to look like, but I can't. Mm-hmm. And I believe that philanthropy can answer some of the big questions, not answer, but be a part of answering some of the huge questions of our time. But we have to approach it asking different questions. We can't ask the same questions that we've always asked and expect a different impact. So I think this brand of philanthropy is about asking questions around community and how can community be in charge of, take charge of creating the community they want to see.
Do you have favorite questions you like to ask?
Just basic ones, really. The questions that we ask, if your community could become what you'd always wanted it to become, what does it look like? Mm. And how does that differ from what you see today? And a lot of times, when you ask that type of question, it's hard initially for people to answer it because no one's ever asked that. And so they will start off with really short answers like clean streets, something like that. Right. But to really say, no, this is really about closing your eyes and thinking deeply about what your greatest hopes are for your community. To not be limited by the thought that it can't happen, because it can. Mm. And so starting off with those questions, and eventually that is a long conversation just from that one question.
Yep.
I even do that with individual donors. Even if they're not necessarily attached to a community, if I get the opportunity, if we get the opportunity to talk to individual donors about their philanthropy, it's a variation of that same question. Because I think that's what causes an engaged donor when all of a sudden they see themselves on this journey toward impact. And that it's not just a transaction, and it's not just reacting to a request for support, that it's really a part of a journey toward a greater world.
Well, you spoke in the beginning about it being from the top down and the bottom up, that it being that combination, the integrating the people and the investors. And the fact that you're listening to both, the fact that you're asking both, and giving both donors and regular citizens the encouragement to dream, listening to their answers and helping make that happen, this is really exciting stuff you're working on.
It is. It's exciting and fulfilling for us every day. It's a great community to do it in. South Jersey is, long before the Community Foundation was formed, South Jersey was a giving community that cared about home. They cared about where they live, cared about giving back in some way. This is just a way of taking the tools and the bully pulpit, if you will, or convening opportunity from a community foundation and saying, well, let's take all of this and then let's dream and try to see what we can do to make it a better place for all.
Well, Sydney, I look forward to checking back with you year after year after year to see how this nascent community foundation, this little baby, grows to really do amazing things. Thank you so much for taking time with us today.
Thank you.
Speaking with Sydney is always a pleasure for me. Between his experience in Columbus and now that amazing opportunity to forge new ground in building philanthropy in South Jersey, Sydney always reminds me that there's nothing more practical than aiming for what's possible. One of the most interesting observations Sydney shared is all about how we think about the issue of control. When we believe we need to maintain control with strict guidelines and linear processes, we miss out on all the possibilities that come from more organic ways of working, working with the community, listening, exploring what's possible. And clearly one of the most organic ways of looking at the work we all do is the concept of relationship as impact. The linear, numbers-focused way of planning and measuring impact, well, that all goes out the window when some of the most important impacts we can have are simply relationships, as Sidney talked about in his story of the folks living on the two sides of the lake. And that leads to questions for your own work. Regarding the issue of control, in which areas of your work do you keep tight control over guidelines and processes? What are the reasons for keeping such tight controls over those processes? And what might become possible if you ceded some of that control to the community that you serve? And then regarding the value simply of building a community that's living in relationship, how many of your programs have that as a goal? How might your mission be closer to being fully accomplished if you added a component to each of your programs aimed solely at building a community that is more deeply engaged with each other? As you begin exploring these big questions, I hope you'll share your observations at the Chronicle's website, philanthropy.com, or at Creating the Future's Facebook page at facebook.com/creatingthefuture. We hope you've enjoyed this edition of Making Change. If you have ideas for guests for this podcast, folks who are driving new ways of thinking about what it takes to create visionary social change, please get hold of me through our website at creatingthefuture.org. Thanks for listening and for wanting to create a better future for your community and our world. For the Chronicle of Philanthropy, I'm Hilde Gottlieb. We'll see you the second Thursday of next month here on Making Change.